I don't think members will want to hear the question again and again and again. But let's be absolutely clear that if they order...
In the countries which have a parliamentary question time, it has become customary to decry the procedure as a partisan bear pit which shows politics at its worst. Reducing Parliament, which should be a forum for the judicious proposal and sagacious review of legislation, to a tacky and undignified pantomime of jeering, name-calling and grandstanding.
Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition is the Mr. Potato Head of Australian politics.
Vex rockets all over the building.
Are you accepting it?
No, of course not. It's rubbish.
The government is not accepting it.
We'll pick it up in 2 weeks' time.
Order!
Mr. Speaker, give him a Valium.
Point of order, Madam Speaker. If this is an example of the adults being in charge, the minister should be sat down.
For the countries which don't have a parliamentary question time, an explanation is probably in order. Question time is, as the name may very well suggest, a designated interval in which members of parliament are invited to interrogate senior ministers, including, usually at a fixed time once a week when parliament is sitting, the Prime Minister. Question time is usually broadcast live, and highlights or lowlights are a staple of broadcast news, and in this benighted epoch, social media. Australia, one of the countries which does have a Prime Minister's question time, is looking into reforming it. Australia's Parliamentary Committee on Procedures is considering such tweaks as compelling those on the receiving end of question time to actually answer the questions. One wishes the Speaker good luck enforcing that, and doing away with the questions known in Australia as Dorothy Dix's. Named for Dorothy Dix, the American advice columnist rumoured to also write the letters she replied to, Dorothy Dix's are carefully scripted and planted question from the Prime Minister's own backbench, encouraging the leader to reflect, with appropriate modesty, upon their own supreme fitness to govern.
And how is the government's strong economic leadership building a stronger economy?
Will the Prime Minister explain to the House the importance of providing strong economic leadership to promote jobs and growth?
In fairness to the public servants toiling diligently upon Australia's Parliamentary Committee on Procedures, most of the ideas floated thus far for reforming question time sound pretty reasonable. It would be nice to get a straight answer to a straight question. And nobody, including really the Prime Minister, benefits from the Prime Minister being encouraged to agree how bloody marvellous they are and how lucky the country is to have them. Nevertheless, these reforms should be carefully watched by Australians lest they go too far and abolish question time, either effectively or actually. In countries which have question time, which, aside from Australia, include the United Kingdom, Canada, Finland, Japan and New Zealand, it's usually the case that politicians, by their own admission, both hate it and fear it, which is, of course, the best argument for keeping it. Question time is, beyond any serious doubt, a good thing, and every country should have one.
This is Prime Minister's questions, and he should try and answer the question. Now, I asked him a very specific question.
For a start, and most obviously, it's an opportunity to ask questions, for MPs to put the case of their constituents directly to the nation's leader. This is still useful even when an MP uses their allotted question, as they sometimes do, to solicit the Prime Minister's gracious congratulations to some organisation based in their constituency, of railway modellers or girl guides or badger stranglers who have excelled at whatever it is they do.
Can I thank the Prime Minister for joining Leicestershire MPs and the rest of the planet in congratulating Leicester City Football Club on their brilliant and historic success in the Premier League.
All politics is ultimately local, and by such tiny gestures are mighty nations bound. Also, it is good that a national leader is compelled to think on their feet in public, to display without recourse to advisers or spin doctors a command of facts, policies and issues. The Westminster system is, in many respects, an obstacle to the ambitions of any demagogue, dunce or dingbat, but Question Time is a crucial component. It is very hard to imagine, to cite a completely random example, an opportunist game show host who has never read a book lasting long when subjected to this sort of scrutiny. It is not unheard of for Question Time's victims to try waffling their way out of trouble, but they have to do better than this.
There's no verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite?
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that you like?
No, I don't want to do that.
Are you an Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal. I think it's just an incredible... The whole Bible is an incredible... I joke...
And claims by the public that they are repelled by the bickering, hooting, and derisive waving of order papers at Question Time should be heard as the lofty hypocrisy they are. Asking voters to denounce the occasional unruliness of Question Time is akin to asking sports fans what they think of on-field brawls. Everybody knows they're supposed to condemn them, think of the children, and so forth, but if you look at the crowd when it happens, everyone is enjoying the dust-up enormously.
The Leader of the Opposition slept right through the critical vote. He was drunk.
For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.